Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about shoulder continuing education courses, how we progress our treatment programs for athletes, and what we think of a dead hang, right? Is that good? The yeah. Dead hang position and a shoulder pack position during pull-ups and chin-ups.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We're up here in Boston, Mass. At Champion PT and Performance. We have Lenny Macrina, Dave Tilley, Dan Pope, Coco Chris in the house from the University of Delaware. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
Ready to roll with some great questions. So I got to admit, the questions that have been coming in lately have been fantastic. So keep them coming. Go to MikeReinold.com, click on that link for the podcast, and ask us some questions. Join our newsletter list so you get kind of all your episodes that are coming into your inbox. It'll be really cool. So thanks. And Coco, take it away.
Brett from Minnesota. I've been practicing for 2.5 years now and have a strong interest in shoulder rehab. Much of my continuing education since graduating PT school has been focused on manual therapy skills. What other courses would you suggest to improve overall care of my shoulder patients?
It's like he's like
MikeReinold.com. It's like he's like
big juicy softball
special
coming
sale.
Up here.
This is,
boom! Check that out.
After that, what would help me with the knee?
You can't. I mean,
how can I bridge the gap?
I mean, great question. I like that. I'm trying to, how do we give an unbiased response to this? So
I will. I'll say it's a good course.
we do a lot of work on the shoulder. We've done a ton of research on the shoulder. Our mentor, Kevin Wilk, has done a ton of research on the shoulder. So if you're into like a live course, if you want to go to a Con Ed course on the weekend, find one of Kevin Wilk's seminars. I think he's the best. Great presenter, great information, well-researched type things. You definitely want to do that. If you want to do more stuff like online and stuff, we have a ton of stuff. Our online program at shoulderseminar.com, it's my live course just presented online over like an 8-week period. It's amazing. Like, so not to speak like that, but like the amount of interest that people have given it, and like the thousands of people have done it, it's been pretty popular. So we go over everything, you know, and not to be completely unbiased, is there anybody else you'd recommend shoulder like research stuff? I mean, we have a ton of stuff. We have a textbook called the athlete's shoulder. I have functional stability training the upper body. We have optimal shoulder protection. I mean, there's so much stuff. I don't want to make this an advertisement, but I mean, if you're looking for shoulder research, I think the stuff that we've done is pretty good. But what else?
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that obviously it's a really good self-paced is one of the biggest reasons that I did it, is because I didn't have time to sit down. I mean, 2 days worth of, like, you just taught, and where is it? In Indianapolis? So like, if you go there, you get a tons of like manual techniques, and he's going to show you the test live. You can practice, which is awesome, but like, that's 2 days, and you're just like, so much information. So I like the online stuff because I liked reading the research and kind of going at my pace. Like some courses, it took me like 2 weeks to get through some of the stuff because there's just so much density. So it's really what you're looking for. Like, do you want to know like the clinical implications and like how to get your hands on and do the test and stuff live, or do you want to just take it at your own pace and...
Yeah,
I guess.
And it sounds like you've been doing the manual therapy stuff. This is the other component, because if you said you hadn't done any of that, I'd say you need to do live course to practice stuff. But it sounds like if you really want to learn the shoulder, there's plenty of good online resources, you know. So
yeah, I'm kind of biased too, because I've learned a lot from you. So
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it. I do think Ben Kibler's got a lot of really good research.
Good one.
Jeremy Lewis also has some. I think he has a course on the shoulder. I haven't been there, but I'd like to do it. He's got some cool ideas about the shoulder as well. But I've learned a lot from those guys and just reading research around the shoulder.
So. Yeah, there's lots of great therapists. I mean, Todd Ellenbecker, George Davies, Tim Tyler, Mike Voigt. I mean, I could keep going.
SOMA is a nice basis overview for an assessment thing. I know we've talked about it a ton in this podcast, but just it incorporates a lot of shoulder thoracic stuff. just for an assessment type thing. And it depends on the manual therapy stuff you've done too, but active release type stuff and anatomy training type stuff takes it to a different level when you're talking like joint movement and trying to improve range of motion. And it's not always a tight shoulder, but it's more maybe some neural component, a muscular component to deal with to try to improve range of motion, not necessarily crank on them and stretch them out, which is often not the case. So I think that's other stuff that you could to look into if you haven't done that as part of your manual therapy.
Nice.
Said you've done
plenty of stuff.
Yeah.
Coco.
Dylan from Ohio. I'm a third-year athletic training student, and I'm having difficulty developing treatment programs for athletes. I was wondering if you have any suggestions on how to get better when it comes to creating these programs.
Yeah, we talked about this there a little bit. Yeah, treatment programs for athletes. I think the first thing to take a step back is that everybody's a human, right? Just because they're an athlete doesn't mean you necessarily treat them differently. I think if you break down treatment phases to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it may be, the treatment's going to be exactly the same for a while. It's the athlete's going to maybe go further. Like my grandmother might not go to phase 3 or phase 4. She might just need 1 and 2 to get back to her functional activities. There's just kind of more down the road. And also, you have to go from, you know, your basics of restoring function to restoring sports-specific movements. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. What do you guys want to add to that?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan, you're coming from, you know, your background.
Yeah. I think from, if we're talking about an athlete, I really like Mike Boyle's stuff. I think he's got... he was an athletic trainer, and he has a big background in strength conditioning, but also he has a mind for rehabilitation, too. He's worked with a lot of smart people. And I think if you learn from him specifically, it'll kind of be comprehensive, and it'll also encompass a little bit of your athletic training background because he incorporates a lot of great sports performance, but he also has that mindset from as an athletic trainer and a rehab kind of.
Yeah.
Which I think, going off of that, Boyle and then just that group of trainers that are out there that are putting stuff on social media and how to develop programs. Mike Robinson, Mike Boyle, Dean Somerset, Tony Gentlecore, Eric Cressy, like those are the people that you follow on social media, see what products they have, and then you maybe purchase products because that's the stuff that'll take your knowledge to the next level, you know.
And that'll help, like, expanding, like, understanding how to, you know, pick exercises, build programs with exercises. For you, like, again, how do you do a treatment program for athletes? You got to go through the phases. So, you know, phase 1 is, like, restore whatever from the injury, right? So reduce your inflammation, you know, whatever it may be, like, kind of get you back to, like, kind of, like, you know, baseline, right? Phase 2 is you start to advance them, start to get some of their imbalances, some of their deficits, and then phase 3, phase 4, you start kind of progressing them to the advanced strengthening loading and then finally sports-specific stuff. I think you're just overthinking it, and I just think you don't. And you, as you get more reps and you see more, you're gonna this will become a little bit more obvious. But, you know, think of the phases in terms of that, like how do you build off restoring function to adding strength and then finally sports-specific, and just kind of think that way. You know, which exercise you pick is the easiest part. That's the basic part. It's how you kind of structure that with the healing constraint. So good. Anybody good? Pretty solid.
I would say the last little bit, like if you're understanding a certain sport really well, don't be afraid to talk to the coaches that are respected in that sport, because some of the best things that I've learned from my rehab of gymnasts was from listening to high level gymnastics coaches. And I said, what do they want, and what do they want them to get back to? How do I reverse engineer that? And I'm sure you guys have done that with baseball or with whatever, you know, sport, pole vaulting. Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Nailed it.
You pole vaulter?
I was.
Really?
Yeah.
So, did I know that?
Look at what the coach wants them to get back to if they're a high-level athlete or just a regular athlete, whoever it is, and then just like, okay, how can I help them better?
Cool. Pole vaulting sounds cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I got one. You want to try? I got one.
Yes.
Can we set one up and champion over there?
Can I go over the rig?
What else? We got Coke.
Dave from South Korea. Is dead hang position in pull-up bad for the shoulders?
So dead hang position?
In pull-up.
In pull-up. So hanging, is that bad for the shoulders?
Plus,
oh,
I wonder.
Look at how he added some suspense in there, like Steve Jobs. And one more thing.
Two more. Plus, I wonder if you teach your athletes to do pull-up chin-ups at champion. And if you do, do you tell them to pack their shoulders at the bottom position of pull-ups, chin-ups?
All right, I'll start with just, of course, we do pull-ups and chin-ups. I think that's important. We try not to avoid anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have a good reason to avoid. So I'd say we do that, but dead hang. So what's the question? Do we do it intentionally, or?
Is it bad for your shoulders?
Is it bad for your shoulders? What do you think, Dan?
I think I've changed over the years, you know, because shoulder packing was a huge thing, and it was probably 5-10 years ago, I forget. I think Mike Boyle and that crowd started talking about it, I think Greg Cook. I don't remember where it came about from, but I used to think that you probably should try to pack the shoulder at the bottom part of a pull-up, but I think you're probably bringing that acromion down to the humerus, and you might even be causing some more impingement at the bottom of the hang. So in gymnastics, I mean, one of the big things I've learned with Power Monkey Fitness is, you know, when gymnasts swing, they don't necessarily shoulder pack. They relax. They get as far
they try to, and they fall apart.
Yeah, I think. I had a comment one time that's like, this is stupid. No one does this in gymnastics. I was like, okay, this is probably important.
Yeah, you're like, I better think. Yeah. I better rethink the way I think.
Yeah, so I think it's more a matter of getting strong and conditioning that bottom position slowly and progressively. And then over time, you can get into some more fancy stuff and some loaded things. And it's probably safe. You know, I don't see a lot of people getting hurt down there. They actively have some shoulder impingement. Sometimes you see that. They have some tight lats or something along those lines that could be causing that. But overall, I think it's probably something that should be worked progressively, like most other movements.
Yeah, there's a person that's good for it and a person that's bad. If you don't have full overhead mobility, you're not qualified to do it. If you're completely joint lax and subluxing, maybe that's not the best position to be in. But what you've essentially asked is, do we want somebody to be packed or do we want somebody to be dead hang, which is both ends of the spectrum of the mobility. I never really understood the packing thing, I think. So we had people packing and doing shoulder program stuff. I guess I'm kind of like anti-packing. I don't know when I would really advocate packing. Packing the shoulder. To me, I want everything to flow kind of normally. And if you're packing and restricting the scap and everything in and then just trying to move your humerus, that's not how our arms move. You have to have glenohumeral and scapulothoracic mobility working together. So I never understood packing and why we would do that. I mean, maybe if you're trying to stabilize the joint and hold a heavy weight overhead, I would want to pack right there. But dynamically, I would never really want to pack. So I don't think you want either. Like, you know, I don't think, you know, of course you do pull-ups and chin-ups. I don't see why you would intentionally just hang from a bar and try to be passive, unless you're trying to do some like lumbar distraction or something like that. But like for the shoulders, I think you want to be neutral and toned and then perform a nice movement pattern without a dead hang and without a pack. You want to be more normal. But Dave, I mean, this is your world too. What do you think?
Yeah, so I would say that if you're talking about traditional artistic gymnastics, we do train a full hang, right? But it's over years. Like we
why?
Start. Because when you hit the bottom of a swing on heavier skills, sometimes you do hit end range. And so if you've never been there before, sometimes that can be a problem.
All right, so if you're a gymnast training to be a better gymnast,
exactly.
You might dead hang.
Over multiple years. We do like tons of weighted pull-ups, and you're doing all sorts of like extra stuff to help. But I would say, like you kind of touched on, it's not bad for shoulders. It's bad for that person at that time. So I would say that like a lot of people don't hang in their daily life. Like, when's the last time somebody just like jumped up and hang unless they were practicing it? So it's like people are jumping into it way too fast, not understanding there's a lot of eccentric loading and a lot of cuff strength you need to tolerate your body weight hanging full passively. So I would say in our specific condition, we do, but I wouldn't advocate that it's something that everyone should just be like, oh, you need to train full motion, dead hang. Because like I said, you're gonna make someone more lax over time maybe. Like, you're going to start to get cranky over time, and I would be cautious with it.
Yeah, and I just add one little bonus. I don't dead hang for shoulder mobility. That's stupid.
Exactly.
Right? If you don't have shoulder mobility, hanging with your body weight is not going to magically make it better. That's just going to flare you out, like Dan kind of said. So just to get that other aspect of strength, but mobility. But Cope?
That's it.
That's it? Look at you flying through these. It's a way to do it, man.
I'm giving them like 6 fist bumps.
Thanks so much, everybody. We appreciate it. Keep asking away. Go to MikeReynolds.com, click on the podcast link, and get on there. Go to iTunes, subscribe, give us a nice review. It'd be awesome. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.